And slightly more than a year, a national election is going to take place. For almost 2 years, we've been bombarded by those who claim we're losing too many of our freedoms, and others who insist we need more government programs. We find ourselves in a climate of distrust on both sides, of moral decay, of an impending holy war involving extremists of all types, and a fragile economy, and right in the middle sits an impotent church. A lack of spiritual truth and an apathetic citizenry crying for their individual freedoms without any personal responsibility. As a whole, the church in America is more concerned about being politically correct than speaking out about what is morally wrong. I want to repeat that. As a whole, the church in America is more concerned about being politically correct than speaking out about what is morally wrong. This was not an easy message to prepare. At the top of our church's weekly prayer list, you will see printed in bold letters, "Pray for the state of the church." Of course, we include Brown Street Baptist Church in this, but it addresses the church in America today and its seeming inability to be what it should be in a nation in trouble spiritually as well as politically. A nation in trouble spiritually as well as politically. In our country, for example, after 9/11, church attendance figures rose 12%. But today, they're lower than they were before 9/11. Something wrong. Amen? Something wrong. Something terribly wrong. History is disappointingly true as to the ups and downs of God's people, as recorded not only in this holy book, but also in secular history as well. I want to speak to this problem this morning because I believe it's the neglect of any and all nation of accepting the truth found here in this book that has always decided, if you will, the nation's fate. I don't need to go into secular history talk about that, but I want to turn in the scriptures. I want you to turn with me to John, the Gospel of John. And I want to read from the Gospel of John in chapter 8. beginning in verse 12. Chapter 8, Gospel of John, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees, therefore, said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. In other words, they called Jesus a liar. Amen? Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then they said unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Neither know me nor my Father. I want you to listen to those words. You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Amen. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. Listen. Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then they said unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I am who I told you I was when you called me a liar. Amen? That's what he's saying. I have many things to say and to judge you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake it of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things to please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And here it is. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. 83 years after the pilgrims landed on American soil, Jonathan Edwards was born. 16 years later, Roger Williams was threatened and harassed by the Puritans who had come to America seeking religious freedom. He founded the colony called Rhode Island and the first Baptist church in America in a town called Providence. We, looking back, can now see the seeds of bigotry and intolerance taking root that the Puritans themselves had come to America's colonies to escape. These very people that had come here, sailed across the Atlantic Ocean, landed at Plymouth Rock, had come to escape the very thing they were perpetrating upon whales. Amen? Just a few years later, And so, the excessive taxation of the colonies by England, the Boston Massacre, the revolt of the Tea Party on English shipping, all led eventually to the Revolutionary War, and finally to the independence of the United States of America. All of these well-recorded historical events hide the fact that only a few very short years after Jonathan Edwards' death, the Church of England, with its Roman Catholic domination, controlled the majority of the 13 colonies, while the narrow-minded branch of the Puritans, New England and parts of New York and Delaware, contributed to serious religious persecution, turmoil, and suffering, including imprisonment for Baptists, only 25 years or so after what historians today label the Great Awakening. How many of you heard of the Great Awakening? Very few, evidently. That, beloved, is the Holy Spirit revival that took place during Jonathan Edwards' lifetime, and in which he was one of the driving forces. God used it to awaken the then struggling church to relevance and renewal. The Great Awakening. So very few of you even know what I was talking about. Which is a shame, really. Really it is. The Great Awakening lasted less than 40 years. Two generations. It was a great movement of God upon this nation that consisted of handful of colonies and some Midwestern outposts. Less than two generations. Is not this, my friends, the echoes of the Jewish history in the Old Testament? Of course it is. Is not this the echoes of the struggling young church of the New Testament? Of course it is. Revival followed by deterioration. Listen to me this morning. Revival followed by deterioration. The discovery of the truth and then the abandonment of that very truth. Remember what Jesus said in the text? As the book of Ecclesiastes very clearly states, there is nothing new under the sun, nor will there ever be until, as our Creator promises in His Word, that He alone will make all things new. Listen, God alone will make all things new. We find that God's promises to heal our land if we do four things. And it's found, of course, in the Old Testament. Turn, if you will, with me now to 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. One verse of scripture. I want you to find it, and I want us to read it together. Four things. Four things. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I believe number one was humbling ourselves. Number two, praying. Number three was more than just praying, but seeking the face of God, a fellowship with Him, a close companionship with God, and turning because of these things and realizing what we need from our wicked way. Does that come across to you as well?
Yes.
And the result will be the healing of the land, the country, the nation, the kingdom, the tribe. Amen? That's what it says. I don't think we believe that anymore. That's Old Testament stuff. Notice carefully. God did not say, I will make all things new. He said, I'll heal your land. Is there a difference? You betcha. Our land today is sick and needs healing. God has healed lands before. Amen? And the world has always infected them again. You said that because God isn't able? No. God never said all things would be new. He said, I'll heal your sickness. And He heals the sickness because they get back to the Word. And then, in a decade or two or 100 years or more, they neglect the Word. Over and over and over and over. Old Testament, New Testament, today. Time after time, year after year, century after century, This truth is recorded not only in the Bible, but in our secular history books as well. That is why the truth is so important. Remember what Jesus said? That's why the truth is so important. That is why it is the truth and only the truth that sets God's people free. We live, beloved, in a sick land, but we are free. God's people are free no matter who our enemies are. Amen? Be they carnal or spiritual, political or religious fanatics, or our ever-present sins of doubt and superstition, we are free because of the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen. That, beloved, is why healing is only temporary. But God's promise to his children is not temporary, but eternal. And we need to start living that way. And we need to start proving that we belong to him by the way we treat others. And by the way we obey the word. When it's time to vote, whether you think your vote counts or not, by getting up out of your seat and going to the booth. Amen. The truth that sets us free is Jesus Christ. The I Am of John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And they called him a liar. Remember? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power. Listen. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them they believe on his name. You were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is God. He is the one whom Peter informs us will create for us, beloved people, for his children, for those who believe and act upon his truth. He, it tells us in his promise, will create, not heal, create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness forever. Not just 40 years or 1,000 years or 4,000 years. But forever, eternally. And that is the truth. No more need for temporary healing. No more need to search for true liberty. No more sorrow, tears, or death. That, beloved, as I said earlier, is the truth that makes us free. Are you free today? Truly free? I've shared the truth with you this morning. You cannot stand before the one who is the very essence of truth one day, as each one of us here today will one day, and say, no one ever told me, because I didn't tell you. Today. I didn't tell you this morning. May God help us all to see and believe His truth. Because it's the only thing, my friends, that will save sinners like you and like me. It's the only thing that will make us free.